Let us say a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we commence our hymnal session. Let us sing hymn 432. 432.
First verse.
to sing hymn 425. 425.
Let us pray in silence to prepare hearts for the service. Amen. In Jesus' name, let us commence with our Friday night service. Let us sing hymn 122. Sing hymn 122.
Blessed be
Thank the Lord that we are able to continue to worship Him. Now we will kneel down and pray. We ask our Lord Jesus to guide us in our service. Let's kneel down and pray. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Our Lord is worthy.
Amen. In Jesus' name, let us study the topic, to bear fruit upward. Thank the Lord, this is the fifth session of our study, to bear fruit upwards. Let us refer to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Thank the Lord, today we are the disciples of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. We are members of the body of Christ. And Jesus is the true vine, and today we are the branches. We are in Him. Thus, Jesus, He expects fruit from us. He says that we bear much fruit to prove that we are His disciples. And by so doing, by bearing fruit, then we are able to glorify God. This is our duty. This is what we must do. Thank the Lord for the past four sermon sessions. We have studied on seven fruits. Seven fruits. The first fruit that we have made mention, it is the fruit that is worthy of repentance, or the fruit that befits repentance. Show forth that truly we are resolved to overcome our weaknesses and not to again fall into the same weaknesses. Therefore, in our life of faith, we bear the fruit that befits or worthy of repentance. The second fruit, we mention the fruit from or the fruit of the words of God. We know God's words, it is living, it is spirit and life. It is not only in words and sentences, but it is life and spirit. So when the words of God is in our hearts, is in us, where it is implanted in us, then definitely when we are a doer of the word, we will bear fruit of the word. This is the second fruit. And the third fruit, we have run to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord, Jesus, He gave us the Holy Spirit, the Helper to be with us. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, we are able to bear fruit of the Spirit. And number four, the fruit of sanctification or holiness. Thank the Lord, in water baptism, in status, we are sanctified. We are holy, but this is in status. So after we are baptized, we must continuously lead a life in holiness, in sanctification. With the help of the Word, with the help of the Holy Spirit, then we are able to bear fruit of sanctification. And fruit number six, fruit number five, it is fruit of righteousness. Similarly, as we say, in baptism, we are sanctified, we are justified, we are reckoned as righteous. We put on the righteousness of the Lord. So our status is one who is righteous. As we say again, in our life, there are many challenges. There is this temptation to fall into our weaknesses, into the lust of the flesh. But today, we must continue to do what is right, then we will be able to bear fruit of righteousness. Fruit number six, fruit of light. We have mentioned the whole world today, it is in the power of darkness. It is in darkness. Men are leading a life in darkness. They do things secretly. They fear light, and they do not want light to expose their darkness. But today we are all sons of light because we are baptized into Christ, the Lord who is the light. So today we, as the sons of light, we must bear the fruit of light so that others are able to see our light, to continue in what that is good or goodness, what is right or righteousness, and what is true in the truth. And the fruit number seven, it is fruit of the ministry. Thank the Lord, we are not only chosen by the Lord today as His followers, but the Lord will also want to choose us, to appoint us to a certain office or to a certain divine work. So we pray that we will continue to pursue so that we are able to become vessels, the tools of the Lord in His ministry. Now we will continue. Fruit number eight. Fruit number eight. Fruit from the act of love. Fruit from acts of love. For this topic, we will run through two instances or two examples. Example number one, or point one, in relation to fruit from acts of love. We can see this from the church at Philippi. The church of Philippi manifested love and kindness, especially this was towards the servant of the Lord, Apostle Paul. Let us refer to Philippians. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Verse 18, I have received full payment and more. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. At the time, Paul was under house arrest, or we say he was in prison because of the gospel. And at the time, the church of Philippi sent their servant, this Epaphroditus, to give, to bring over, here says, the gifts. And this gift, it is a fragrant offering. When we say a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable, that means it is pleasing to God. It is pleasing to God. So Paul was very thankful. We know Paul already in the past, or from especially 1 Corinthians and other epistles, we're able to know that Paul says a laborer deserves their wages, or when the ox is muzzling, do not disturb them. All right? So, rightly, the servant of the Lord, they should receive assistance or support from the church. But now we will not bring in this. Here tells us about the initiative of the church in Philippi. So at the time, they sent this Epaphroditus with the gift, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And Paul, he in chapter 4, let's again read chapter 4, verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. Paul says, to share my trouble. We also refer to chapter 2, verse 25. Chapter 2, verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. As we say, they sent Epaphroditus with the gift. And Paul says, minister to my need. At the time, they shared in Paul's trouble and now also in the need of Paul. Thus, they make manifest this love, this kindness towards the servant of the Lord. And chapter 4, let's turn back, chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit which increase to your credit, or that will be taken into account. There are this act of love, this assistance given to Paul. All right? So this is fruit from the act of love. Definitely, Paul hoped that through this work, the Lord will take it into account in the future. They will receive reward, for they lay up also treasures in heaven. Let's now refer to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. For God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love which you have showed for his sake in serving the saints, as you still do. The author here, of course, earlier thanked them about their work and their love. And he prayed and he knew that God is not so unjust to overlook this love of theirs that they have manifested in serving the saints. Similarly, for the believers, for the church in Philippi, Paul prayed that whatever they do, that it will be taken into account, this fruit. Thank the Lord. Now we run to some historical matter, the occasion for the act of love, or we say the foundation. Why the church in Philippi, they were able to do this? Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 15. Excuse me. Acts 16, 15. Verse 15. And when she was baptized with her household, this tells us about Lydia in verse 14. Lydia, she was from the city of Thyatira. She was a seller of purple goods who was a worshipper of God. At the time, Paul went, and when Paul preached, the Lord opened her heart to give heed to what was said by Paul. And Lydia, she was quite wealthy. She was wealthy, and she believed. So 15, and when she was baptized with her household, she besought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, some Bible says, if you judge me to be true or faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. She was very hospitable. She was very hospitable. So at the time, she encouraged them. Then she prevailed upon us. So Paul and his company stayed in her house. From the beginning, the foundation of the Philippine church was established, or Philippi church established very firmly. The Lord opened her heart to receive the word spoken. So her foundation was established in the words of the Lord. But yet she walked in love. All right? She walked in love. She was willing at the time to open her house, and later her house also where believers gathered, where the church was. So this was the beginning of the church in Philippi, a very good foundation. So what occasioned this act of love? Because the early seed make manifest this type of service, love and kindness towards God's servant. And now we run to the examples given by the church in Philippi. Let's turn back Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. Philippians 4, 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me help once and again. Means twice. Twice they helped Paul. If we look at the journey of Paul, the second missionary journey, just now we have read in Acts chapter 16, the first stop Paul went to Philippi. Then from Philippi, because there was trouble, so Paul went to Thessalonica. And there, at the time, they helped Paul twice. All right? They helped Paul twice. Then the next example, Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Verse 15. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, the province of Macedonia, No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Paul says he left Macedonia. So even though when he was in Macedonia, already in Philippi, they hosted Paul and his company. Then he went to Thessalonica. Even at the time, they came and helped Paul twice. But from then, from Macedonia, we know Paul moved on to Achaia. He went to Corinth. So what happened in Corinth? Let us turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. And when I was with you and was in want, I did not burden anyone, for my needs were supplied by the brethren who came from Macedonia. So I refrain and will refrain from burdening you in any way. Paul says when he was in Corinth, when he was in need, Paul did not want to trouble the believers there in Corinth. Of course, in the end, it also offended them. They were not very pleased. But here tells us, the brethren came from Macedonia. Definitely refers to the believers or the church in Philippi. When Paul was in Corinth, in the province of Achaia, they sent brethren to supply the need of Paul. This is the second example. Firstly, in Thessalonica, then in Corinth. Then the third example, definitely it relates to at the time when Paul was under house arrest or in prison in Rome. We turn back Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Because there is a lapse of time. The last time, at the time they made manifest their kindness and love towards Paul, was when he was at Corinth. Now when he was under house arrest, they again make manifest this act of love. They sent Epaphroditus with the need to Paul. All right? And Paul, he was full of gratitude. That's why just now he mentioned verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit which increases to your account. And he continued with words of blessing, chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Paul now pray that the Lord will bless them. The Lord will supply every need of them according to the riches of the grace and the blessings of the Lord. Thus, the first example, acts of love, and the fruit that will be manifested, it is from the church of Philippi. Now, the second example, it tells us about the relief, the aid, the contribution, the gift for the saints in Jerusalem, in the land of Judea. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, let's read verse 25. We read 25 first. Romans 15, 25. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem with the aid for the saints. Verse 28, the upper portion. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been raised or what has been sealed, I shall go by way to you in Spain. Paul tells us about the aid to the saints. Alright, the aid to the saints. And in the Greek, in verse 28, again, we read verse 28. When therefore I have completed this, and sealed to them this fruit. All right, sealed to them this fruit. What is the fruit, as we say, the relief, the aid, the contribution, the gift to the saints in Jerusalem? And when Paul says sealed to them this fruit, we know seal, it is for security. Means Paul delivered and handed over securely and safely this aid, the contribution to believers, to saints in Jerusalem. Let's turn to Acts 24, verse 17. Acts 24, 17. In the end, Paul brought this aid, this contribution to Jerusalem. Acts 24, 17. Now, after some years, I came to bring to my nation alms and offerings. The upper portion says, bring to my nation alms. This is the contribution that was collected to help the believers in Jerusalem, in the land of Judea. Now we run to the background. The background in relation to this fruit, the aid. Let's refer to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, 27 and 28. Acts 11, 27 and 28. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. 28. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world, and this took place in the days of Claudius. Some say here the famine over all the world. Some say this should only point to the land of Judea. Some say if it refers to the world, then how in the future the churches, those who were affected, they were able to contribute. But no matter how, we know at the time in Jerusalem, all right, in Jerusalem, there will be a great famine. And because of this great famine, the believers there, they became poor. Let's refer to Romans chapter 15, verse 26. Romans 15, 26. Verse 26. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. Here says contribution for the poor. They were poor. Let's also refer to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. When Paul was in Jerusalem in an earlier visit, the apostles reminded Paul to do this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. Only they would have us remember the poor, which very thing I was eager to do. Thus, what is the background at the time? We say there will be a famine in the land of Judea, and this affected the believers. They were in need. They were poor. Now we look at the organizers and approach youth in relation to this fruit, the act of love through their aid, their contribution. The organizers and approach. This work was started by the believers. Let's turn to Acts 11. We turn back Acts chapter 11. Just now we have read 27 and 28, where Agabus came, foretold by the Spirit, that there would be a great famine over the land. Now we continue to read verse 29 and 30. Acts chapter 11, 29 and 30. Verse 29. And the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brethren who live in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. When the believers heard about this, so immediately they acted, immediately they responded, immediately they had a plan. So all the disciples, they determined, everyone according to his ability. Take note, in this act of love, in this fruit, it is according to ability. It is not under compulsion. It must be from a cheerful and a willing heart out of love at the time. So according to their ability, they send relief and they pass it to the elders there by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. They organize, then the approach they use, they sent to the workers. But later, Paul, with much care, Paul, with much caution, he coordinated the work with other co-workers. Let's refer to 1 Corinthians, for example. 1 Corinthians, at the time, the church in Corinth sent letter to Paul asking for advice in relation to this act of love. First Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. And then we read 3 and 4. Verse 1. Now concerning the contribution for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. We can read verse 2. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up. First day of the week, tell us Sunday. So on Sunday, it was when they will receive their pay. They receive their pay. And after they receive their pay, Paul says, each of you is to put something aside and store it up in their house. All right? When they get pay, they keep the money in their house, as he may prosper, so that contribution need not be made when I come, so that when Paul comes, they will not need to gather the money, but already they have kept this money. So this was the instruction from Paul. Verse 3, and when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. So they were very careful. Together with the contribution, there was this letter about who they sent, about the amount, and so forth. Verse 4, and it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. So Paul wants a letter from them, then Paul will go, and they will accompany Paul. So Paul was very cautious, very careful when he coordinated this work, because it involves money. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. Accordingly, we have urged Titus that as he had already made a beginning, he should also complete among you this gracious work. In Corinth, Titus, he started the work. He encouraged them to make offering. Of course, earlier, they also sent letters to ask Paul about it. Verse 18 to 23. 18 to 23. Verse 18. With him, we are sending the brother who is famous among all churches for his preaching of the gospel. Together with Titus now, another brother will come along. Verse 19. And not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, this work of helping the saints, collecting the money, which we are carrying on for the glory of the Lord and to show our goodwill. 20. We intend that no one should blame us in this liberal gift which we are administering. 21. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of men. And with them, we are sending our brother, our brother whom we often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. For as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker in your service. And as for our brethren, the two brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Paul was now organizing, administering in relation to this work of collecting the aid and to go to the church to meet them. All right? Here tells about the organizers and the approach. Then we continue. Those churches that help Jerusalem, those churches that help Jerusalem. Acts 11. Just now, we have read this. Now, might we read again? Acts 11, 27. Acts chapter 11, 27. Now, in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Verse 29. And the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brethren who live in Judea. The church in Antioch, when they heard this immediately, they started the relief for the saints. The first church in Antioch. Second, churches in the province of Macedonia and Achaia. We turn back Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Just now we have read this. Romans 15, 25 and 26. Romans 15, 25, 26. Verse 25. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem with the aid for the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. When we say Macedonia and Achaia, it tells us about churches established by Paul during his second missionary journey. Take note, second missionary journey. Macedonia is a province. In Macedonia, altogether there are three churches. Let's quickly refer to this. Acts 16. Acts chapter 16, 9 and 10. Acts 16, 9 and 10. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing, beseeching him, saying, Come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel there. It tells us about Macedonia. Verse 12. And from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. We remained there in the city for some days. Paul was in Philippi. So the first church in Macedonia, Philippi. Chapter 17, verse 1. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of Jews. The second place, Thessalonica. The third church, verse 10. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Berea. Three churches in Macedonia. And what about Achaia? Achaia is is a province. Let's turn to chapter 18, Acts chapter 18, verse 1. Acts 18, verse 1. After this, he left Athens and went to Corinth. Went to Corinth. Achaia is in Greece. So in Achaia, the first church established Corinth. Verse 18, lower portion. At Cenchrea, he cut his hair. For he had a vow, Cenchrea. The second church In Achaia, it is sanctuary. All right? So when we say the churches in Macedonia and Achaia, all together, five churches, but especially we know Philippi and Corinth, they help out. Then the third example, just now in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, we need not read. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, Paul mentioned about the churches in Galatia, how he gave them instruction. When we say Galatia, it is southern Galatia or Galatia, southern Galatia. Churches established during Paul's first missionary journey. This is southern Galatia. We refer to Acts chapter 13, verse 14. But they passed on from Perga and came to Antioch of Pisidia. The first church, Antioch, but it is Antioch of Pisidia. Chapter 14, verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue. The second location, Iconium. Let's read Acts 14, 6 and 7. Verse 6, they learned of it, they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to surrounding country. The next cities, Lystra and Derbe. Thus, when we say the churches in Galatia, it tells us about four churches, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. Please take note, all these churches that help the church or the saints in Jerusalem, they were all so-called Gentile churches. The church in Antioch, the churches in Macedonia and Achaia, which tells us about Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, Cenchrea, and churches in Galatia, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, they were all Gentile churches. So thank the Lord, the Gentile churches helped up the Jewish church. And now we will continue. This fruit manifested what? This fruit manifested what? Quickly, we run through three sub-points. This fruit manifested the genuineness of love. This is important. We say that this is acts of love. So it manifested genuineness of love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. That your love is genuine. Verse 24a, the upper portion. So give proof before the churches of your love. They were encouraged by the churches in Macedonia. They set their heart to do this work, but after 1 year, they have not made this contribution. Thus, Paul encouraged them. Now you must make manifest, show forth that you are genuine in your love. So Paul says, give proof before the churches of your love. This work is a work of love. It manifests genuineness of love that is in them. And when we say love, let's turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? 18. Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. Love must be in action. Second sub-point. This fruit manifested what? The understanding and experience of God's grace in Jesus. The understanding and experience of God's grace in Jesus. Lesson 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. We want you to know, brethren, about the grace of God which has been shown in the churches of Macedonia. Paul mentioned about the grace of God that has been shown. We continue. Verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7, the upper portion, the lower portion, verse 6. Accordingly, we have urged Titus, as he had already made a beginning, he should continue among you this gracious work. Paul made use of this term, gracious work, means the work of grace. This collection, this contribution, it is a work of grace. Verse 7, the lower portion, see that you excel this also in this gracious work. Again, Paul used the same term. Verse 19, and not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work. Again, Paul mentioned gracious work. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. He tells us about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. These Gentile Jews, why they contributed? They understand the grace of the Lord and they experience this grace of the Lord. Third sub point. This fruit manifested what? Oneness. This is important. Oneness and unity in true fellowship. Oneness and unity in true fellowship. Romans 15:26. Verse 26. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints. Please take note, when the Bible here says to make some contribution for the poor, it tells us about fellowship in the Greek word. Fellowship in Greek word. When they contributed, oneness and unity in true fellowship. When we say genuine fellowship, it implies a willingness to share. To share what? In their trouble. A willingness to give aid, to help. This is fellowship. Even though they were Gentile churches, and earlier we know the Jews, they do not join, they do not mix, they do not welcome the Gentiles. But now the Gentile churches, because they understand the grace of the Lord, they were also in this spiritual blessing of the Lord. Now in oneness and unity in true fellowship, they manifest their love. They had this fellowship in the spirit with them. They had this partnership with them. They share in their trouble. They give aid. They willingly, they give liberally. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We must hold on to this spirit among churches. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 25 and 26. And there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffer, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So we must hold on to this principle, this spirit. We must not have discord in the body, but we must have the same care for one another. Take note, we must have the same care. If one suffer, we suffer together. This is true meaning to fellowship. All right, true meaning to fellowship. So when we say this fruit manifested what? The genuineness of love, the understanding and the experience of God's grace, and oneness and unity. In the end, what is the outcome of this fruit, this contribution, this aid, this relief to the saints? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 12 and 13. 12 and 13. Verse 12. For the rendering of this service not only supplies the wants of the saints, they help, they fulfill the wants of the saints, but also overflow in many thanksgiving to God. Under the task of this service, you will glorify God by your obedience in acknowledging the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. So glory, thanksgiving will be given to the Lord because they make manifest that they were those who walk in the truth, in the teachings of the Lord. And in the end, what will happen to them? Blessings will be showered upon them. Chapter 9, verse 6, verse 8 and 11. Chapter 9, verse 6, 8 and 11, verse 6. The point is this: he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse 8. And God is able to provide you with every grace in abundance. Take note, the Lord will continue to bestow grace and blessings in abundance so that you may always have enough. Take note, have enough of everything to what extent and may provide in abundance for every good work. Means continue to do good work. 11. You will be enriched in every way for great generosity, which to us will produce thanksgiving to God. So we pray that the Lord guide us so that we are able to bear this fruit from acts of love. May the Lord help us and bless us. Sing hymn 120. Let's kneel down and pray. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Thank you.
May the Lord be in our service here. May the Lord bless.